Please be seated, and good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. We're going to be having a look at that section in 1 Peter chapter 5, the whole of the chapter. So let's just pray as we start. Father God, we thank you that we're able to come here this morning. Please would you help us. Please speak to our hearts by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last in our series in Peter's first letter. And it's been encouraging, hasn't it? It's been challenging. It's not always easy, is it, challenge? It can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable at times. But you know what? I think it's exactly because it is Peter's letter that perhaps we sit up. Because we know who's writing it. We know his previous propensity to rash behaviour, to impulsiveness, to sleep instead of pray, to cave in instead of standing firm. And he's an apostle now. But he's also one of us too, isn't he? And that is encouraging in itself. But now with the Holy Spirit's infilling, he's a changed man. He at last really understands who Jesus is. So he can call us to be alert and pray, to be self-controlled, to stand firm under pressure and persecution. And don't we listen? Don't we listen to those who understand what it's like in the real world? And that's Peter to a T here. So let's take a look at the chapter. You'll find it on page 253 in your church Bibles there. So perhaps you'd like to turn that up. Our first four verses this morning are about elders. About church leaders and their responsibility to those in charge. So it's about us. And our opening verses could perhaps better begin with therefore instead of now. And it points backwards. That's the section on trials and suffering and judgment as a Christian. And those in a leadership role, those with this privileged position for the church, are perhaps more exposed to trials, to suffering and judgment by the very nature of this position. Why? Well, because the highest standards are required in this position. Verse 4, now as an elder myself and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort elders among you, to tend the flock of God that's in your charge. Now, I know some of us were at Chester Cathedral last Saturday, where Christine was ordained presbyter, elder. That's what it means. And the responsibility of those charged as elders or leaders is pretty daunting. I have the ordination service here. We trust that long ago you began to weigh and ponder all this, and that you are fully determined by the grace of God to devote yourself wholly to his service. Will you be diligent in prayer, in reading of Scripture, and in all the studies that will deepen your faith, fit yourself to bear witness to the truth of the gospel? Will you lead Christ's people in proclaiming his glorious gospel? Will you faithfully minister? And so it goes on. And when you come to the end of it, you think, yikes. And the only thing that you can say as a elder is, by the help of God, I will. So pray for Christine. Pray for your leaders. Pray for us all. Because we can only do it by the help of God. And Peter doesn't lord it over his fellow elders because he's an apostle. But he sees them as co-workers or fellow elders. Even though he's witnessed Jesus' suffering and his glory, his transfiguration and his resurrection firsthand. And that's exactly what he asks his fellow elders to do in verse 3. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. So setting his own example of humility. And do you remember what the risen Christ said to Peter? Do you remember? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And here we see the same Peter giving others that same command, passing it on, if you like. So verse 2, tend the flock of God that's in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. So not pay, not for pay, not begrudgingly, but freely, to lead by example. And you know, aren't the best leaders the ones who lead by example? You know, we've all experienced poor leadership. The do as I say and not as I do leadership. Which is so discouraging, isn't it? But when you experience good leadership, it stands out like a beacon. Servant leadership is the way of Christ, is Christ's way. We might say leading from the front. Getting stuck in with those that we're leading. And you know, when we come across that kind of leadership, it's so attractive. It's so attractive that we want to follow. Isn't that the type of leadership we need today in church? In our country? And only you will know whether your leaders stack up to those demands. And those who are church leaders are accountable. They're accountable to the chief shepherd in verse 4, Jesus, when he returns. And Peter tells us how we're supposed to respond to our leaders, our elders, in verse 5. And this is for us in leadership too, because we have elders over us, our bishops in Stockport and Chester. But the spirit of our age is often the opposite, isn't it, of this respect for authority over us. A critical heart, it's not good. And Peter says this mustn't happen in the Christian church at all. So verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humility and submission. How does that work practically? Well, giving others honour. Serving others. We're taught to be assertive very early on these days. Otherwise we'll get trampled on. Is that the way of the Christian? Is that the way a Christian should behave? You know, we can still have our opinions. And we can express them in a gracious, humble way. The end of verse 5 there. And all of you must clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another. And the idea there is kind of like putting an apron on. Over our clothes, clothing ourselves, ready to serve. What does that remind you of? During supper, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel, an apron, around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and wipe them with the towel, with the apron that was tied around him. That kind of humility. What a leader Jesus is. A servant leader. So all of us, leaders and those being led, should consciously put on that apron of humility in our dealings with each other and those that we chance upon. That's a challenge, isn't it? Not to feel humble or to pray for it, just do it. It's far from passive, it's active. So that we can serve others and come under the authority of our leaders, serving one another. And of course, pride has no place in God's economy. So rather than self-assertion, self-humility, lowliness of mind, putting on that apron. Have you got it on? Have I? And of course, that's how we should be before Almighty God. In verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Well, why? Well, because ultimately, all things are under his mighty hand, under his authority. So the sense here is not that God is in control of everything that happens, but rather that no matter what happens, he can be trusted. He can be trusted to exercise his control for his people. Therefore, submit to him. In those very circumstances, submit to the hand that controls. Now that's deep, isn't it? It's really worth remembering that God is our God. He's able to deliver his people from their circumstances. So it's not the kind of stuff that you often hear, is let go and let God. No, it's more like allow yourselves to be humbled. You know, like when you go into hospital and you have your pre-med ready for your operation, you sign the consent form, don't you? You sign the consent form. You need to get the problem sorted so we come under the surgeon. So we also consent to God's mighty right hand, able to deliver. So when anxiety and worry and alarm arrive at our door, we should, verse 7, cast them on him because he cares for you. And that's precisely the problem with our troubles, isn't it? If we could just throw them off. But we can't. But what we can do is get rid of the anxiety which those very troubles, with which those very troubles torment us. Because our Lord is there and ready to help. And that's hard too, isn't it? To throw away that anxiety and worry which can cripple us. It's active, like the humility, and it's a real effort. It's a determination to get shot of them. A determination to commit them and surrender ourselves to the Lord so that that anxiety is carried by him and not by us anymore. And so we're freed from their grip. And we gain peace of mind in the midst of our troubles. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot to learn. And doesn't Jesus say the same? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Give him our burdens and take his light load instead. Casting off our anxieties, active, not passive. And then we need to be disciplined in verses 8 and 9. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. Alert, self-controlled, just what Peter wasn't when he fell asleep. Instead of praying and then denying Jesus. And what the devil would do is sow discord and division. He's the accuser. He accuses us. Call yourself a Christian. You're not good enough. He accuses God. Why do you let this happen, God, when you're powerful? You should be doing something and you're not. And accuses our fellow Christians. Oh, he's not a very good Christian, is he? He did this and that. Resist it, says Peter. And resist denying Christ in the face of opposition. We need to stop, don't we? But it's a great passage. It's a great passage for those who are leaders and followers. The challenge to put those aprons on. As we serve each other. For those who are up against it. And let's face it. I think many of us will be. If we're not already. To cast our cares and anxieties on God. Knowing that he's big enough to be able to take them. And impart his peace. In the midst of our troubles. And to keep alert and disciplined in our Christian lives. Amen.